I can tell you that this week I prepared something entirely different than what we will be going over tonight. I was enjoyed very much the Bible class that we had, and Brother Royce brought up several key elements in relationship to the Good Shepherd that I think are important for us to contemplate, and hopefully your class made some references to that. But before we get there, I would like for you to keep your Bibles open and or open them and turn with me to a few passages. I just want to I want us to contemplate, to meditate upon a few words about the Word of God. Psalm 12 and verse number 6. Psalm 12 and verse number 6 says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." In Psalm 107 and verse number 20, Psalm 107 and verse number 20, the Bible says, "He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction." Turn with me to the book of Proverbs now in chapter 30, and let's look at verse number 5. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse number 5. Brother Mike would use a word such as perusal to describe what we're doing tonight. I would say glancing. He would say perusing, but we're going to do both of those tonight. So, Proverbs chapter 30 and verse number 5, the Bible says, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him." Now then, turn with me to Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 4. This is a quotation, by the way, from Deuteronomy chapter 8. And the context of Deuteronomy chapter 8 takes you all the way back to Exodus chapter 16. And that's a good study in and of itself. But consider what Jesus says here. "But He answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Now in Jeremiah chapter 15, I want us to look at verse number 16. Jeremiah 15 and verse number 16. Here the Bible tells us, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by Thy name, O Lord God of hosts." And then if we glance and take our attention to the book of Job, in Job chapter 23 and verse number 12. Job 23 and verse number 12. Notice what your Bible says there, verse number 12. "Neither have I gone back from the commandments of His lips. I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food." In the book of Psalm chapter, or Psalm division 119, we're going to find several things, but I'm just going to look at one verse. I think really sums it up in verse number 24. Psalm 119, verse number 24, it says, "Thy testimonies are my delight and my counselors." Now, of course, there are a multitude of other passages such as Romans 1:16. James 1:21, James 1:25, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12, and other passages that talk about the importance of the Word of God. And I got to thinking about that. When you look at all of those verses that we just glanced at, what is it that is said about the Word of God? It gives life. It heals. It is a shield. It delivers nourishment. There's power in the Word. There's joy and delight. They are more valuable than my necessary food. I would rather give up my daily meal than to give up the Word of God. There is power invested in these words. And I thought about this shepherd that we talked about tonight. The good shepherd, as Jesus refers to himself in John chapter 10 and verse number 11. And that good shepherd gives life. In fact, he is the source of all life based upon John chapter 1 verses 1 through 3. And because he is the resurrection, John 11, he is the resurrection and life. He is the grantor of life. He is the origin of life. And he is the one who will supply unto us eternal life. But it's interesting to me that the good shepherd there gives life. Royce brought up 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 4. There Jesus is referred to as the great shepherd. And the good shepherd gives life. The great shepherd gives a crown of life. He is going to deliver that to those who give great service for his people. But then there's Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 20. I want to draw your attention to this particular verse, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 20. It says, "Now the God of peace that brought you again from the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd." Jesus is referred to as the good shepherd who gives us life. He is referred to as the chief shepherd who gives us a crown of life. But he is also the great shepherd who gave his blood so that you and I might possess life and possess it more abundantly, you see. In this life, we can have life more abundantly because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. No wonder then, in the context of John chapter 10, the good shepherd is the one who lays down his life for the sheep. The good shepherd is the one who will take the sheep, Psalm 23, by the still waters. He is the one who will find the green pastures so that we can lie down in. He is the one who takes care of and protects the sheep against the wolves that are out there. You know, I got to thinking about the Word of God and how important it is for us to focus upon the words that Jesus and His apostles and His prophets actually used for us. Now the Word has been delivered to you about who Jesus is. The question is whether or not He is your shepherd. You see, you have to be in the fold in order for Him to be your shepherd. Now, He wants you to be one of His sheep. But in order to be one of His sheep, there are qualifiers to becoming that sheep. If you believe tonight that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, if you are willing then to repent of all of your past sins, confessing the sweet name of Jesus, and then lay down your life in that waters of baptism so that that dead man can stay within that watery grave and a new man can arise out of, then it is at that time that God, according to Acts 2 and 42, adds you to His church. That's His fold right there. To be in the church of Christ is to be in the fold of God, the safety of the good, great, and chief shepherd. Now, if you've wandered away, y'all remember that parable in Luke chapter 15, right? Jesus is searching. He wants to put you upon His shoulders and bring you back. But He can't do it if you're unwilling to come back. That is the requirement of a child of God who has gone astray. You find that repentance. You find that confession of sin. And you find that willingness to come back and that prayer. Acts 8 and 22 and 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9. If there's some way tonight that we can assist you, either to come to the great shepherd or to come home to the great shepherd, please come as together we stand and sing.